This is Source from the Sofa. This is Rome. We got Aaron and Jason. We're recording Wednesday night, November 5th. Remember the 5th of November. Kind of a cool day. I don't know. What do you think, Jason?
I don't know, Rome. Some people say it's the greatest day of all time. You know, out of 365, I mean, this is, I think it's the biggest one.
A lot of talent born on the 5th.
A lot of talent born on that. The 5th. Just the wrong month, fellas.
No, I don't think
I forgot. I forgot about Aaron. Dude, you are born on the 5th, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know because, you know, when you think about, you know,
that's
November
really weird.
5th, Aaron, you know, you have Back to the Future, which November 5th is so prominently in that movie. You talk about going back in time to November 5th, 1955, and Roman already quoted, you know, V for Vendetta, like, you know, it's the prominent date in that movie too. So, you know, when you think about November 5th and then just all the talent born on November 5th, man, it's a top tier. It's, I think, number one out of all 365.
To be fair, I forgot.
I think it's in the top five. I think it's in the top five for sure. I put in the top five.
Yeah, the top five. Thanks. We're celebrating our birthdays in case you guys didn't know. It's mine and Jason's birthday. He was born a year earlier.
Jason,
I didn't do anything today. I just kind of worked on some personal stuff. Got my first workout in 2 months with the knee. Now that I know it's not broken officially, but it hurts so much, dude. I can't do a squat for shit.
Wow, it's good, Rome. I mean, you're not even at the big 4-0, as Aaron said, which I'm, you know, graduating on this year too. I did get a friend of mine at work. He did give me some compression socks. So as you hit some older age, you know, you want to make sure get the blood flowing in the legs and everything. So
really, do those work? Yeah.
I mean, he claims they work, you know, you'll get the comments that basically this is what, you know, people more advanced age and retirement age would probably get these, you know, to get the blood flowing.
But, hey, old is this gentleman that gave you these socks?
He's the exact same age as me. But
okay. So, all right.
But he's trying.
I thought
he's trying to
make, add about another 10, 20 years. But
no, okay. No, he's trying to make an old joke out of this. But, you know, if they're he's claiming they're comfortable and they change things forever for him. So, you know.
Hey, when you get our age, comfortable's half the battle, right? So
maybe that's why I hurt my knee. Like, none of my shoes are comfortable.
Well, see, that's where I will ride or die. I can wear these socks, but I'm going to rock good shoes forever at this point. I'm wearing Jordan 1s or whatever, Nikes and stuff. And
I got to look good. I got to look 100%. Good. I'm not wearing.
Hey, you got to look good based off what we heard before we went on the pod. You're shooting your shot on thread. So, yeah, Rome, you better be looking good.
Dude, I can't believe you guys. I can't believe you saw that, Jason. That's embarrassing. I got to take that down.
You know, it wasn't for public consumption, but apparently Aaron's making the public consumption at this point too. It's okay, Rob.
It's too good of a story to keep private, man. The sources were all over that one, so
the sources
they want to be heard.
Also, being supportive of a beautiful woman that's not really vibing out in San Francisco, thinking about moving back down to LA, and I would totally move back down for a while.
You know what, Rome? If she's not even if she's looking for part time, she could hit your ride with you. You're down here every 2 weeks anyway, so there you go.
I mean, I think she was a model. She's modeling gigs. You're basically doing an Uber service every other week to begin with. I mean, you could be just transporting her up, you know, up and down. You know, I'm here to support Rome. You know, us three. You know, in the show, we're a unit. Just trying to be a good wingman in it. Right? I just want to let you know that I was seen.
And Rome, you know, you're doing the comedy scene, so you could run some jokes by her, see how the vibe is, see if she likes them. You know,
actually,
there you go.
I do got that going.
If you
for me
if
now,
you can
yeah.
make a beautiful woman laugh, you know, that's half the battle right there.
That's true. I dated a model like a couple in my 20s, and one left me for someone that's on the practice squad on like the Rams or some shit, and I was like, really, like what him? You know, just on the practice squad. She's like, he's in the NFL. I was like, barely. I just remember that one right now.
Well, now you're on Sources for this. Now you're the host of Sources from the Sofa podcast, Rome. So
exactly,
you're moving up.
All right, what a tangent to start the pod. It's Wednesday, so we usually do Aaron's college games of the week. I gotta be quite frank here. The list has not been as busy as weeks past. It's been kind of nice. I think today we got what 9 games that you picked out.
Yeah, 9 games, Rome.
Last week was 8. Yeah. We got some big news in college football. I don't know if it's big news, but Auburn fired their coach. We got our first playoff rankings from the committee, which was quite interesting. I was kind of surprised about Texas, which kind of they're in if if they can make it toward the end, looks like maybe four Big Ten teams, maybe a possibility. They kind of value that a little bit more than the AP top 25, which is like, why do we have the AP top 25 if it's not going to really matter to the committee rankings anymore? Like, that's something that's worth talking about, I think, at some point.
Now the AP wants to still be heard.
Yeah.
And the AP gives us a preseason poll, so.
Yeah, preseason polls for number ones and twos that don't make it past 3 weeks.
That's right.
That's right, yeah. You guys want to talk about those rankings first? You want to talk about Aaron's games of the week? Want to talk about the firing at Auburn? Some Lane Kiffin rumors going around?
What job is Lane Kiffin not rumored to be going to?
What I heard today, it's mainly towards LSU in Florida. And a lot of people want him to go to LSU because there's just unlimited resources there. Besides Oregon, they're just full of cash. The thing is, though, like with that whole firing with the AD and like the drama with Kelly, to me, it doesn't look as appealing as it did before. Although I never liked LSU, only until I didn't like LSU with Saban. I definitely didn't like LSU with who's the coach out after Saban.
You didn't like Les Miles?
I didn't.
I loved Les Miles there.
Because I like Saban. I followed him to Alabama, so I was kind of rooting for that because my UCLA wasn't winning at all. And so neither was Nebraska. Got to root for somebody. So that kind of took up 10 years. But I did like Ed Orgeron. I was a big fan of him.
Ogeron.
There you go.
Orgeron. Hey, he wants back. He wants back in the job.
I think he's still getting paid by LSU, isn't he?
He's still getting paid a lot of money.
So they get a discount, they bring him back.
I don't know. I don't know if the I don't know. Maybe the admins aren't there because you know the rumors was he got fired because he was hitting on the wives of like boosters.
Yeah, he was
and
doing. He was doing a lot of stuff. Like I told Rome. Yeah, Ed was doing a lot of.
So there's stuff a lot of video. There's a lot of video that he was really friendly with the. With the college age interns,
too.
Yeah, sorority girls. Yeah, he was a partier and he was not shy. Like. He was
sharing more than just gumbo when he got a chance.
I never shared my gumbo. Not a good gumbo. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of have a feeling that Lane Kiffin should stay at Ole Miss. It's not bad. Like expectations, like he's in a solid spot. He can lose two or three games every year. No one's going to try to kick him out. He's brought Ole Miss to relevance. They have a chance to go to the playoff. They definitely had a good chance of going on a run this year. The team looks really nice. They got good recruits, not like too much money, but enough money to continue this good run. I think it's pretty nice. Florida though, I'm not a big Florida person, so I really don't care for that. I know you had Tebow and Myers, and I didn't like him either as a coach there. So I just, you know, historically I hate both these schools. It was only like recently that I liked LSU, but I don't know. Is the grass greener if you go to LSU? I think it's kind of nice in Ole Miss.
I think the other thing to consider, I don't know how much traction it's gotten, but people have been talking about the pros for Lane Kiffin too.
Yeah.
So is there one of the pro teams that go out there? And when you think of timing, you know, if he's staying at Ole Miss, at least through this year, you know, if he's making a playoff run, LSU and Florida and all these programs, like they want to get in and get their guy sooner rather than later. So them sitting around waiting for Lane Kiffin, and if he's in the midst of a playoff run with Ole Miss, I don't know the timing of that, whether that becomes appetizing. Because if he goes on a run, we're talking, you know, early January, mid-January, you're getting past certain recruiting deadlines, you're getting staff in place and all that stuff. Like that's where these kind of head coaching searches, you know, become, you know, I need the guy now type thing. So, you know, the pros, hey, they can wait till mid to late January because it really doesn't matter because the Super Bowl is going on and none of that stuff has gone into the next season. So I think there's a lot of questions, like Rome, you said, about resources. Like, okay, you could say LSU's got all these resources, man, but they're churning through coaches left and right and all these resources aren't paying off. And is it that much more you're getting out of LSU versus what he's getting at Ole Miss right now, too? Because, hey, you're playing something with a similar schedule. You know, there's pressure at Ole Miss, but it's not as bad. And Florida, you mentioned them, like, okay, what resources they have, but what's been their relevance since the Urban Meyer era? Like, they've had some solid teams, but mostly average to below average teams in the SEC. I can't remember a memorable Florida offense, Aaron, that you can school me on that, but like, I can't think of any memorable Florida offense, like, since the Tebow era. You know, they had what? Richard. Richardson put up some plays and got, you know, got drafted, you know, in the top five on athletic ability. But like, what were these offensive players? Like, it seems like every year they got a really great defense, but can't score at all.
Yeah. I mean, Lane Kiffin, Rome, I think we touched on it like 2 weeks ago, LSU and Florida were probably the top two choices if he was going to leave. I don't see Lane Kiffin going to the NFL. I don't see his personality fitting in there.
I like the NFL, but
I think Florida makes the most sense because LSU, they do have a lot of resources. Florida does too. You know, you're talking 1A, 1B, LSU, you know, bigger bank, whatnot. I mean, they got basically the governor kind of funding that program bank, as it goes. Bank. So the state of Louisiana as a whole, they fund the program. I mean, LSU football is bigger than anything in the state. It's bigger than the Saints. It's bigger than anybody. Like, literally, when the governor's like, I don't care if we don't have the money. We'll find the money. We'll budget it out somewhere else. They'll make it work if they want to.
The fact that the governor got involved, I'm like, this is too politically driven. I'm done following this.
Yeah. So, and I think LSU, I thought I saw yesterday that they lifted the interim tag on the new AD. So I believe he's now the full-time AD.
Yep.
So that's in place now. You know, whether he'll be in charge of who they hire, but you know, their board of trustees guys will be in. I mean, Lane Kiffin's on that short list. Marcus Freeman's on that short list. A lot of big name coaches are going to be on that list. Lane Kiffin, if he does leave, I think Florida is probably the destination he goes to. But like you said, I mean, Ole Miss, not a ton of pressure. I mean, if you win 9-10 games, they're happy there. He gets everything he wants there. I mean, he's the king of the hill. He doesn't need to worry about if he goes to Florida year two or three or LSU, worried about getting fired. In Florida, since Urban Meyer, they've ran through coaches. I mean, Dan Mullen did a pretty good job there. I mean, he had him in the top five, top 10. He gave, Nick Saban some battles, got ran out of town, went to ESPN. Now he's at UNLV. But, you know, these programs now are desperate for winners. Hugh Freeze, you just mentioned, he's out. The guy at Tulane, likely to take his spot. I mean, I've talked to guys over there. That's their front runner. They think they're going to get him.
Wow.
We'll see. But LSU is an interesting gig. I mean, anybody would want it. Everybody's going to throw their name in the hat. I mean, I've heard names, you know, Ed Orgeron wants back in. I've heard that they may be even interested in Joe Brady coming back there as he was the OC for the 2019 national championship team.
Oh, that's interesting, actually.
Yeah, you know.
That's interesting.
So we'll see. But again, like Jason mentioned, the time frame now with only one transfer portal being basically early December to early January, and Buffalo's likely the season doesn't end until January. They're going to make a deep playoff run, you suspect. So getting a coach, getting a staff, transfers, that's big now in college football, plus keeping your current recruits. It's tough. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here.
Yeah. That's all I got on that. I think Freeman's staying put, right? He's already said no, or like the back channel stuff. He's already taken himself out, right?
Well, I mean, Jason would know more. I mean, I'm sure he's negotiating a new contract and a new everything there, because that's what these coaches do. I mean, Matt Rule's got a new deal in Nebraska. You know, Prince-Aguini's got a new deal at Indiana. So
unless Matt Rule was like destroying top 25 teams, yeah, go ahead and pay him some more money. But other than that, his contract's already long. Just let him work it out. Like I don't know, man.
I don't know if we talked about that Sunday Night Row, but it's like, yeah, the Matt Rule versus top 25 teams is like,
it's just like Franklin. It's Franklin. He hasn't won anybody, man, since his first job.
Well, he's not had high jobs. I mean, he was at Temple and Baylor before. Now
that was the last time he beat anybody, was at Temple.
But I don't even know
how
it was,
he turned
like
that Baylor job.
I don't think Freeman goes anywhere. To me, it's always going to be Ohio State. I think that'd be the tempting one for him. I don't know if Freeman's a guy that you can put in the SEC right now. If that between the recruiting base and everything you need up there, and then Notre Dame's got money too. I think it's a different, you know, it's only a few years, but I think this is a different era than when Brian Kelly's there saying he's not getting resources, because right now, like, every university has, you know, some level of resources, and now I don't want to say it's above board right now, but you could tell the parity in college football because of the NIL money is there. You don't have these schools in the South getting players. How are they getting players? Whether you want to say it was, you know, under the table or whatever was going on, but you can tell right now in the college football rankings and the amount of parity there is across the board that guys aren't staying around waiting forever, that everyone's got some money to be able to pay people. So I think the resources are there if you do want to stay in the job. Like, you know, look at somebody, you know, what Cignetti got it. at Indiana and some of these other programs, like, yeah, you can win, and you just need a couple big boosters to come on and make sure that things are getting you what you need for a few players, and you can go from there. And yeah, so to me, if you're going to say Freeman, I'll long say that Ohio State would be the job. If Ryan Day leaves at one point, that'd be the one that would probably try to tempt Marcus Freeman. But I can't see him leaving for an SEC job.
I don't see Freeman leaving. Personally, if Freeman leaves, it's to the NFL. I think he's probably 5-6 years left in college. We'll see how it goes with the NIL. By 2030, we'll see, because I think you're going to get, you know, the Power Four conferences. The ACC is going to break up. Clemson, Florida State, Miami, they're going to get out of that deal that they got there. And whether or not we get, I don't know if the Big Ten is signed on with that equity thing that they had going on. So you're going to get kind of power conferences or some kind of brokerage stuff going that way.
USC,
but I think Freeman's what, our age, 39, 40. Yeah, Michigan and USC want to stop that. I think Freeman by the age of 45 probably entertains the NFL before he entertains another college job, to be honest. Unless like a Penn State, LSU just comes and says, here's $15 million. That's tough to turn down the resources and money those schools have. But I don't see them going that route, given, you know, the uncertainty where college football is going, all these huge buyouts and payouts. I don't even know what Freeman's buyout is if somebody wanted to. I'm sure the school would have to pay it. I don't know if it's probably 15, 20, 25 million, whatever it is at Notre Dame. But yeah, I mean, these contracts are getting ridiculous. You put up one or two winning years, schools get scared of losing you, and then you just cash in big. I mean, maybe schools start, you know, just paying cheap coaches. You know, hey, give me a good coach. Let me find a good GM that knows talent, that can recruit the transfer portal and get high school kids. Pay him $3 to $5 million a year, and I got a head coach that makes $6 to $8 million, and keep that infrastructure. So we'll see. We'll see what it goes with college football. But this NIL money thing is going to be a big deal going forward.
Yeah, let's transition before we go to your games. The playoff rankings that just were released yesterday night, pretty interesting stuff. Top 12 teams: Oklahoma, Texas, Notre Dame, Oregon, Texas Tech at 8, BYU, Ole Miss, Georgia, and then Alabama, Texas A&M, Indiana, and Ohio State. I'm trying to find the bracket because I believe they have Memphis in there for now as the Big Five team.
Memphis is the 12 seed against number 5, Georgia. Oregon is number 9 against number 8, Texas Tech. You have number 11, Virginia versus number 6, Ole Miss. Notre Dame at number 10 versus number 7, BYU, with Bama, Ohio State, Texas A&M, and Indiana with the first round buys.
What do you guys think of it?
I don't have any bigger problems. I was talking to Aaron before we got in the pod room. I think maybe it's my biased Notre Dame feed on my Twitter, but I would say there's a lot of upset how high Notre Dame's ranked within here, that Miami, Texas, and some other schools are not in there. You know, a lot of people calling that Notre Dame is the most overranked, you know, team in college football history. I disagree, obviously. Aaron also disagrees in this too, because when you look at their two losses, they were competitive, you know, losses against basically what's the number one team in the nation, or if in this college football ranking, you're saying number 3, versus a Miami team that no longer as good. But I mean, it was early in the season, and, you know, they were highly ranked too. And these were tight spread games. That wasn't like, oh, hey, Notre Dame has blown a win against a huge, like, double digit opponent. Like, these were not overly favored type games. And so, but I think, you know, the overall consensus online too is like, hey, Notre Dame was a 2-loss team, and they beat, you know, a bunch of crap teams since. You know, they obviously don't play great teams, but they beat USC and, you know, some other, you know, whatever teams on their schedule. So it's not great, but I think Aaron and I were saying 0-2. They still, if they went out, they're in the playoff, like, no matter what. Even if you call everyone else cupcakes, they were going to get enough out of all their victories from now to the end of the season to be at 10-2 in the playoff.
Yeah, Greg, I got no problem where Notre Dame's at. I mean, Texas, let's be honest, they should have lost to Mississippi State 2 weeks ago. They did not look good against Kentucky. Everybody jumps on the Texas bandwagon when they beat a Vanderbilt team. And they were real fortunate to win that game against Vanderbilt. If Vanderbilt recovers that onside kick, things get real interesting. We meant to go in that game. Miami, let's be honest, the first 5 weeks of the season, they were the best team, the hottest team in the country. They were basically where Indiana was at. Notre Dame lost a game against Texas A&M because their kicker can't make an extra point. I mean, they make an extra point, they likely win that game. They go up 7. They left the door open. Texas A&M, Texas A&M's really good. They're a really good football team. We talked about it coming into the season as a kind of a sleeper dark horse I looked at. You know, I liked them last year. I like them even more this year. They're legit. They're really good. BYU is a surprise team. I think Texas Tech, BYU, the loser of that game is going to eliminate themselves from this thing. Texas, Rome, you mentioned if they win out, they're in. They still got games at Georgia. They still get Texas A&M at home. They win those games, I'm pinning them in the playoff because that shows me they're really back. But they still got to show me they can win at Georgia and win a big game. And Texas A&M is going to want revenge after last year's game that they lost at Kyle Field. So they've got some matchups to prove that they belong in this 12-team playoff field.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
No, I mean, you got a lot of – you got this is going to change a ton probably in the next couple of weeks.
Lot.
You got a lot of head-to-head matchups you're going to come in. Like if you look at, you know, out of the SEC, you know, Ole Miss probably going to, you know – I don't know, win out depending on what Texas does, because Texas is that first team out that could be, you know, hopping one of these SEC teams. It'll come down because it's Texas A&M to end the season, I believe, right, Aaron? That's the rivalry
matchup
that they have.
Yeah, that's like Thanksgiving weekend or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So you should be looking at what do these games shake out to, and then the SEC title game with Vanderbilt losing, you know, and then where Missouri, Oklahoma sits, you know, they got kind of in the mix there, but they're going to need to run the table. So there's a lot going on there. You know, USC and the Big Ten, I know they got losses against on the road that were both to Illinois and Notre Dame, but, you know, they can kind of be in the mix there too, depending on what like Oregon and some others do. You got two Big 12 teams in right now with BYU, Texas Tech, with a Utah team that, always kind of tricky how everything's at. So there's you know, some chances there, but Texas Tech is a really good team. And the ACC, just Miami blew it. I don't know if we've talked enough about that, but I think it's more the group text between us as far as like, you know, this is what we expect. You know, we're waiting for the Hurricanes to do the entire year. They basically did it twice, and you know, they're looking on the outside looking, and they have to run the table, somehow get in the ACC title game and win that, probably to be in the mix at this point, because you know, Virginia's been pretty good. Louisville's been solid and could be in the mix there for the ACC. So, yeah, I think there's still stuff to shake out. The group of five could be interesting. Memphis is in, but you got teams like USF, North Texas, San Diego State, James Madison.
Georgia Tech's not out either. Not yet.
The ACC, no, Georgia Tech's not out either. There's still plenty to play for. So, yeah. I mean, you look at last year, what came down, you know, Clemson only gets in because they win the ACC. And then that really kicked somebody else out because SMU was at, you know, what, 11-1 season or whatever.
I believe
they had.
Kicked Bama out, right? Bama was the last team out. So,
yeah. So, I mean, that's where those title games, the conference title games will come into play as we get on the stretch. So, I still think there's plenty to go on here. Plenty of teams be able to win there because there's going to be some head-to-head mashups that'll shake things up. But that final bracket, I think that's what will become too. Because if you look at this bracket, you know, right now, like let me take the homer advantage of a Notre Dame team. Okay, they get to play BYU. Not a terrible, you know, I wouldn't say one of the better teams. Notre Dame's played some harder opponents this year at Texas A&M and potentially Miami. So that's pretty a good seed for them. Then they go to Indiana right after that, who they beat last year in the college football playoff. Could turn into like a really good matchup in the second round. So there could be some matchup stuff here, depending on how they do these seeds, where, you know, you get some real interesting mashups or better paths to the national title. And like, unlike last year where you had like certain buys kind of built in by the conference, now it's probably like you get two SEC teams, two Big 12 teams, or I'm sorry, two Big 10 teams that are get the buys based on the political heft that both the SEC and Big 10 have in this. Now they political are the power heft. Conferences.
I like that phrase, political heft.
I mean, you could tell how these are the two conferences that own college football. Like, they're allowing the ACC and Big 12 to participate in their tournament, but the SEC and the Big 10 own college football. And there's a reason they got rid of that automatic buy crap, is because, hey, we're putting all this money into it. We want four Big 10 teams. We want four SEC teams. And then everyone else can fight over maybe the scraps on that, not even ruling out potentially five teams go in, and they want the first round buys too.
How many three lost teams make it into the playoff this year?
I'd say probably none.
Really? I'd say at least one.
I would say the only way you're probably getting it in, Rome, if we're looking at like the ACC or something like that, like if we get into you know, a situation like last year with Clemson. That'd be the, I think, the only way. They'd have to win. It'd be a team in the in a conference title game that wins the conference title game is probably the only way that that happens.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got Virginia's got one loss, Louisville's got one loss, Georgia Tech's got one loss. I do believe they don't play each other. I mean, you might want to look that up. But I don't think Miami plays any of them either. And they already Louisville already has a tiebreaker because they beat them. In Virginia, ironically, they lost to North Carolina State, who's in the ACC, but it was not. It was a non-ACC conference game. So they don't even have a conference loss. Yeah.
Because they just couldn't find an opponent or what?
I don't know the story. I believe that's the case, or somebody canceled at the last minute. I forget, but it did not count as a conference game. So Virginia's undefeated in the conference. Louisville lost to Virginia. So Virginia has that over them. And the Georgia Tech lost to NC State. And Miami obviously has the two losses already. So Miami, like we said, I think is done. Looking at it, BYU, Texas Tech, I think whoever wins that game this week, it's going to represent the Big 12. I don't see a two-loss team coming from the Big 12 unless, you know, they rematch again in the Big 12 championship game. But, yeah, I don't see a three-loss team really getting in there based off how everything's going. I just think there's too many teams of one or two losses that are likely going to. I mean, I don't remember if we got a three-loss team in the playoff last year or not. Was Georgia maybe a three-loss team? But
no, it's just some of these teams have like some pretty big matches in the final month, and I think I was reading up on something where it's lining up pretty good. We might get one or two, possibly.
I'm surprised to see Utah so high, though. Utah's had some nice wins, but they've had some bad losses as well to BYU and Texas Tech. So to be over a one-loss Virginia and Louisville, and even a Vanderbilt, that's a little shocking to have Utah that high.
Yeah, I mean, you could be potentially looking at maybe, I think unlikely, but maybe somebody like, if a bunch of upsets happen and somebody like Oklahoma, who loses to Alabama this week, but then beats Missouri and LSU, now you're saying they're going to be sitting at a 9-3 and somehow Georgia, Ole Miss, and you know, Bama fall on their face or something like that. Like, I mean, I think it would take something like that, Rome. But if you look at, you know, the SEC has got undefeated Texas A&M, three teams with one loss, and then a couple teams with two losses. Like, I think it's just too stacked where you're getting a undefeated one or two loss team that's going to be able to go to the SEC championship game. And that'll put them in a position like, a two-loss team going to the SEC championship game could potentially be detrimental to those teams' playoff chances if you have a team behind him that's only got one loss or two loss too.
But I believe, I know we kind of talked about it last year, I believe, I don't know if the committee touched on it, but are we going to not reward teams for making it to a Power Four conference championship and losing? I mean, that was kind of the whole talk of SMU, right? They got in because they lost, but they got to the conference game. Alabama didn't. So the committee rewarded them and was like, we're just going to throw you guys in there because you guys still got to a conference championship. Because, I mean, I think SMU had even made the case we're better off not forfeiting the game and not even playing it, or forfeiting the spot and giving it to somebody else because we'd automatically be in the playoff.
Yeah. No, I think they did. I think so. I mean, you'll have that left in them. But I think at that point, like, because SMU was that their only loss? Were they undefeated up until that point? Try to remember.
They had one loss, I believe, at a conference early in the year to maybe like BYU or somebody like that, but they were undefeated in the conference.
Awesome. You guys ready to transition over to the games?
Sure.
Cool. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back after this. All right, we're back to go over games of the week. We got one Friday game. Kind of nice, kind of a big showdown, and the rest are on Saturday. Some unique games that you picked out here, and then some games that you left out. I'm really kind of curious, what was the strategy behind this week?
Games to watch, Rome. I mean, if you got a game you wanted to throw in there, I mean, I left a couple games out that maybe could have made the list, but, you know, due to time restraints and scheduling, you know, we are trying to keep the list to 8 to 10 teams.
Oh, we
games
are.
Per week. Yeah, nice. That's the memo I got.
That was last year you got the memo. It's barely being processed. So, what is it, a government show?
I believe, well, the shutdown, things don't get processed as quickly as they used to be, Rome. So, yeah, you know, maybe you got it on auto refresh send every year, but I got a memo and I'm trying to keep it short and sweet.
So crazy, man. I'm like looking at the past weeks, it's like 13, 15 games. Now, right.
Well, I'll say, you know, there was a lot of great matchups, but now we've weeded out a bunch of teams out and didn't find out some were as good. We got coaches fired, so they're
I had two games, coaches were fired. They didn't make the list. Auburn didn't make the list. Florida, Kentucky didn't make the list.
Yeah.
They were close.
I'll say somehow Florida State's still on this list, I guess, because they haven't fired their coach yet, but maybe this is the fireable game.
Yeah, why is Florida State on this list?
Well, I mean, when we get to it, we'll get to it. You guys have kind of hinted on a few things there, so you guys are on the right path.
All right, let's kick it off then. I don't think Jason's been on for the college show in a while, so at least a couple weeks, right?
He's been busy working behind the scenes. So yeah, obviously working those sources that have been giving us some good information here.
Yeah, so we got Friday night. The only Friday that we have on the list is Tulane versus number 22 ranked Memphis.
I like how you got the rankings, Rome, so I'm glad you're doing some legwork on this show. Memphis is your team, Rome. That was your group of five playoff team. You're looking like a genius on that part of the show. Memphis has looked pretty good. I mean, this lane, Tulane's getting 3.5. I liked it early Monday when they were getting 6.5, so the wise guys must have talked to my sources when we jumped on it. I like Tulane to win outright here. They're going to beat Memphis. I think Memphis playoff hopes go up in smoke. They saw their name. They're partying up there, drinking the bourbon, the barbecue. The show will be over. I like Tulane to upset Memphis on Friday. Give me Tulane plus 3.5. If you got it at 6.5 Monday when the line originally was out, better for you. But I'm going Tulane here, even though I believe their coach will be leaving for Auburn, as I mentioned. Talking to some boosters in Auburn, that's the guy they want. So we'll see what happens. He needs a big win after last week kind of laying an egg. I think he knew the Hugh Freeze firing was coming. He'll be refocused this week and Tulane gets a win.
Yeah,
Tulane was my Tulane was my group of five pick, back to being the season. And you looked at their resume up until last week, you know, their only loss was to number 13 Ole Miss. They did get blown out in that game, so it wasn't look as great as maybe the Boise resume last year, where their only loss was to an Oregon team that they kept it close. But this loss last week versus UT San Antonio was not great, was not a close loss. And I think Tulane's probably looking for a comeback because, yeah, they are a good team that could definitely, you know, win out for the rest of this season. So I agree with Aaron. I think this is a good spot for Tulane. And obviously the wise guys already pushed that line down.
Nice. On to the Saturday games. Florida State, very unranked versus Clemson.
Very unranked.
Very unranked.
Rome's got to do his own ranking. So yeah, like where does very unranked go? Is that like the 100 to 125 range or?
Yeah, it's the trash teams.
Rome's got to do like the bottom 25, like CBS does. So I mean, UCLA should probably be back in there after the whipping they took 2 weeks ago. But we're talking Florida State, Clemson. I mean, this has been the battle of the ACC, the best teams for like the last 10 years, the last decade, who basically owned the conference. You guys touched on it. This is maybe the loser coach really, really on the hot seat fired. I mean, Norvell has to essentially win out to save his job there. Obviously, Florida State doesn't want to pay him $52 million. Dabo goes in the media and cries every week that he's not the problem. You know, he says now he may get fired. I would have fired Dabo 3 years ago. It's not looking too good now. So the seat's getting warm there. Losing to Florida State, we got a game here over under 56. I'm going Florida State, my Noles, to get the job done here. They showed me something last week against Wake Forest, who surprisingly the week before beat SMU, and SMU beat Miami. So as Jason and I have touched on throughout college football, the parity here is crazy. It's more like the NFL. You just can't figure this stuff out. With that said, I'm going Florida State plus 2. I think they beat Clemson outright. I saw Clemson play against Duke. Their defense was horrendous. Florida State got something back. I think they got some mojo behind them. I like them to upset Clemson at Clemson.
Wow, back-to-back upsets. I'm loving it. Number 5, Georgia versus Mississippi State.
Mississippi State, man, I don't think a program's been on hard times like them. They finally got a win in SEC conference play against Arkansas last week. Should have beaten your guy, your Rome's team, Texas, who now he claims is like top 10, top five again. He's jumped back on the bandwagon for all you people out home. He's out here, got Arch Manning Heisman Trophy going again. He's jumping on. He's put some odds back on that. I'm going to take Mississippi State +8.5. I like Georgia to win this game, but Mississippi State's shown me a lot. They can score points. They can keep it competitive. And Georgia's not blowing anybody out. Every game is really tough. They don't play good in the first half. Second half, they kind of turn it up. I think Mississippi State keeps it close. I'm going to take Mississippi State getting 8.5 here against Georgia.
Georgia has been so lucky this year. The fact that number five, but almost all their wins could be losses. I don't know. I like it.
What analysis! Like almost all their wins could be losses. You know, when you have two options, win or loss. You know, one on one. Yeah, it's true.
Hey,
almost
all your wins can be losses. You know what? This sounds like it sounds a little bit like Magic Irvin Johnson over here. Hey, you know, all their wins could be losses, or all their losses could be wins.
You guys know what I mean, dude. Look at their wins. You know, they're not good
hey,
wins.
Rome, Rome, I don't know. I mean, I thought you got smarter of age. Maybe that trend's breaking with you. I don't know. Happy 39th birthday, buddy.
Magic Johnson's tweet, by the way, is ridiculous. All right. That was not even close. All right.
I mean, he's been doing this for like a decade now. It's like nothing new.
Hey, went to Laker game. They got beat by Golden State. Nice Magic.
I'm going to be honest. I don't understand why coaches and stuff aren't just more, you know, a-holes about it, like in conferences. Like, what could you have done better, like, to beat the game or to beat this team? I said we should have scored more points than the other team. You know, I don't understand
why. That's what
Belichick said. I know. I mean, just like, I don't understand why they're more condescending and, like, you know, they want us to.
How'd you guys lose the game? The other team scored more points. Okay.
That's true. That's what it said. I was like, they always want this breakdown of like film, like you some beat reporter and stuff, like understanding some like different X's and O's and expecting this answer. And no matter what the guy's going to say about it or whatever, they're going to rip him for some BS reason anyways.
Real quick, did you guys see Big Cat just like rip on Magic Johnson the last few days?
I did not, no.
Magic, after them losing and they were down 3-2, he said, Dodgers lost game five. Game six is a must win. And I was like, yeah, no shit. The season's over. They don't win.
Yeah, but you know, I'll say that's an actual must win where people have said like, hey, you know, you're down 2-0 in the series. Game three is a must win. But hey, if you're down 3-2, it is a must win. It's a literal definition of a must win. So
Cat was going crazy. Oh, man, Dodger won game six. I guess game seven is a must win, too. And then even after one game seven, it's like,
game
eight's a must win too.
Game seven's a must win for both teams, Jerome.
Yeah. The quality wins, man. Georgia has not been impressive. I was agreeing with Aaron, but all right. Thanks for the laughs, guys. Texas A&M, number 3 Texas A&M versus number 19 Missouri.
Yeah, Rome, we touched on this. Jason wasn't on the last one, but Missouri without their top two quarterbacks, right? I mean, they lost one of their quarterbacks the opening game of the year. Then they lost the other quarterback to a broken leg, ankle, dislocation, whatever he's got, against Vanderbilt. So now they're going with a true freshman against Texas A&M coming off a bye. Oof. Number 3, you mentioned Texas A&M. I know Missouri's coming off a bye too, but Texas A&M, I like them to roll here. Coming off a bye, they're hungry. They smell blood. True freshman quarterback, Mike Elko, that defense, he's going to be throwing the steel chair around like he was at Notre Dame. I like A&M. I like them big here against Missouri. Their season's over. You're talking about a coach, too. You know, Missouri's coach, Florida, LSU, he's up in the mix for both of those gigs, too. So if you're talking about a coach that might be willing, you're talking about a coach that might be willing to leave early, given what he's got in that quarterback room, Eli there at Missouri. He fits the bill. I think he's already looking for an exit. He's got one foot out the door.
Okay. Interesting. BYU, number 8 versus number 9, Texas Tech. A couple Texas teams on your list.
Yeah, Rome. I mean, Texas Tech. I mean, apparently that's my people. They look a lot like me, according to you and other people out there in the Bay Area. And I like them this weekend. BYU coming off a bye. They got to this point last year. I believe BYU started the year 9-0 and then kind of struggled from there. Texas Tech needs to win this game. They lose. They're not going to the playoff. must win for Texas Tech. They got their quarterback back last week. He looked rusty, kind of got things going late against Kansas State, but this defense will be too much for the true freshman quarterback from BYU. I like Tech to win here by 14 or more points. Give me Texas Tech minus 10.
Wow. LSU versus number 4, Alabama.
Yeah, I was talking a little bit, Jason, before you came on, Rome, about this game. He's kind of leaning towards the Crimson Tide. I'm going the opposite direction. Everything I've heard from LSU is that they feel relieved that Brian Kelly's gone. Happiness is back on the field. These guys are cheerful. They're happy. Joe Sloan's gone as offensive coordinator. Alabama's got a couple players that are suspended and injured for this game. I think LSU comes up and surprises people and keeps this game close. Let's be honest. They hadn't gotten blown out by Texas A&M and Brian Kelly's there. This line's probably 4 or 5 points. It's a little too high for my liking. I like Bama to win by a touchdown or less. I'm going to take LSU plus 10 at Alabama.
Yeah, it's Jason. A big spread. It's a big spread. I don't think there's anything wrong with what Aaron's saying there. I think for me, it's like, is this team in it at all for the rest of the season, given like how much turnover is gone? You could get the first game back. We're trying to prove something. 10 is a lot of points. I think it's even up to 10.5, I think, at a certain point in some lines I've seen Aaron too. So it's getting bet up a little bit. So too many people may be on Bama with this take. I think it's a tough, because you don't know what LSU team's going to come out. Definitely would be probably a stay away, but those games where these coaches like leave, man, like either they're going to get up or this is just going to be an absolute thrashing from Bama. Bama's had some close games too throughout the year too, but they've made statement wins as well when they've needed to prove. So there's a lot of people when you think about Bama, like, oh, this is so questions about them, but man, their loss was the opening week and they've won every game since. And they're playing a gauntlet of a schedule. So you got to respect Bama where they've been at this point of the year.
To me, this kind of feels like that Vanderbilt-Alabama game where, you know, even I was thinking Vandy was going to keep it a little close, but just Alabama is just like really fucking good. They're just playing lights out. I think it might stay close in the first half, but I think they come away in the second half. Be pretty interesting. Number 6, Oregon against Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon's coming off a bye. Did not look good. I think the week before the bye, they won, what, 21-7 against, was it Wisconsin? I want to say a team they should have blown out. I think Oregon needed that bye. Iowa's looked pretty good here lately. They just blew out Minnesota. Listened to a lot of people. You know, they kind of like Iowa this week. I don't. I think Dan Lanning is going to get these guys up for this game. You know, he's kind of hearing like Danny Lanning, he hears everything. So he's hearing Iowa's a favorite here that people like as an upset. I think Oregon shows up. I think they ball out. I like Oregon here minus 6 to go into Iowa and get a big win here on the road to the Big Ten.
Oregon minus 6.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh.
This is the Rome Bowl right here.
This
you
is
know,
the
we
Rome
had,
Bowl.
We had the AT Bowl in the NFL. Now we got the Rome Bowl here in college football.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. Nebraska with their quarterback out for the rest of the year. UCLA. Did they play last week?
Thankfully, they didn't.
Yeah, nice. They got worked by Indiana the week before.
I mean, what Indiana did to them, I'm sure Jason can agree with
expected.
That. That was an ass weapon good enough for 2 weeks. They had to take a week off.
Bad.
We should have nominated that for ass whooping of the week for like NFL and college football.
Easily top the list.
Yeah. No, that was pretty bad. But all right. Well, anyways, games in UCLA. Which, by the way, there's a lawsuit now coming out.
Yeah, I saw that because UCLA is trying to move to SoFi for a couple games or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything. And they're trying to move their whole slate to SoFi.
Every game except for like the big ones, like whatever that means.
I think the Rose Bowl should be grateful that they don't have to put the product that UCLA's put on the field to show up at that stadium. I mean, Keith Jackson's rolling around in his grave. He used to call the greatest games at the Rose Bowl. If he was calling UCLA now, he's glad he's not calling those games anymore.
All right. Who you got in this game?
Oh, God. Sorry, Roman. We got off track. You know, I'm going to take UCLA here. I'm just going to keep it simple. I'm going to take UCLA. Nebraska's without the quarterback, broken fibula, out for the year. And I just don't trust the other guy. He didn't do anything against USC. If Raiola hadn't gotten hurt, they would have won that game. I mean, Matt Rule wouldn't be 0-18 or 0-20, whatever the stats Jason sitting against top 25. That streak would have ended.
Yeah.
But given how cursed both Matt Rule and Nebraska obviously are, they seemed perfect to be hitched and tied together for the next 10 years, whatever that contract is. So enjoy it, Nebraska. I know Rome will. I'm going UCLA here, upset to win at home. I think the bye week does them well, and they find a way to get the win.
I'm surprised that they're actually favored, even if it is a pick 'em at 1.5. That's interesting.
You know, I heard that, you know, since you mentioned the Rose, I heard the Rose Bowl is backing Nebraska. So the Rose Bowl, the money that they're going to use to sue, they backed out Nebraska. So that's why that line is going the way it's going.
Over under 44.
I'm gonna tell you though, UCLA needs this game, man. You got Ohio State next week, Washington, and then USC. Could be your last opportunity to win a game for the rest of the season.
They're beating USC this year, guarantee. I can feel.
Where's that game at the Rose? Is the game at the Rose Bowl or what?
At the Coliseum.
Coliseum.
Oh fuck. Let me think about it.
Yeah, at Ohio State, at the Coliseum.
It's a tough stretch. It's a tough stretch, but they've done well against USC. USC is not crazy.
They play them tough.
They play them tough. Yeah.
I think this Nebraska game will be competitive. I think it'll be a good game.
Yeah. All right. Last game of the slate, San Diego State versus Hawaii.
Rome, we need a late night game in Hawaii before we get ready for the Sao Paulo F1. So this is for all those guys out there on the West Coast that don't even want to go to bed and just be ready for this game.
Yeah.
San Diego State, we mentioned it's in the group of five. I think you mentioned it was like a 5-6 teams that's still in the group of five playoff, right? I believe they're still in the mix. Only got one loss this year. Got some nice wins. Hawaii, Rome, we should have taken San Jose State last week, Rome. We both talked about liking them over Hawaii. And they go on to win. Guess what? I like Hawaii to upset San Diego State here. I think Hawaii is going to go home and win this game outright. So I'm going with the, what are they? Are they called the Rainbow Warriors or just the Warriors now? I don't even know what they go by now. But I like Hawaii plus 7. I like them to win outright and beat the Aztecs of San Diego State.
They're going
to
beat that Aztec out of San Diego State?
There you go. I like that. Put that on a t-shirt.
The good Hawaii game on the slate, man. This is the chaser, man. So if we're losing any money here in the morning, this is where you go big on the.
See, that's why
Hawaii.
I got 9 games. See, Jason's smart. If we're 4-4 and you need that game to edge over the top, there it is. Get you a 5-4. Get you winning going into NFL Sunday. So there it is. I think that's the game right there. Hawaii plus 7.
All right, Aaron. Locks of the week. Do you got any this week?
Where'd I go last week? I think locks, what, 2-1? What were my locks last week? I know Cincinnati was a loss, but I had the over in Vanderbilt, and I believe I had, what did I have last week? What did I do?
Cincinnati was not your lock, but I kind of figured Cincinnati was not happening. You had Vanderbilt, Texas, over 45. That was your lock.
That was a win. That was a win.
You had USC and Nebraska. Nebraska was plus 6.
Oh, that was a win.
And then you had Georgia minus 7 against Florida.
Oh, man. He took a knee on me, man. He took a knee on me. What can I say? He should have been 3-0.
Fucked us, dude.
He bent us over no lube on that one. Okay, so 2-1. I mean, 2-1.
Not bad. Dude, it's been all year. 2-1. I like it.
Yeah, it has been. Okay, so here you need 3 locks, Rome. Here's 3 winners for you. I'm going Texas A&M minus 7. Lock and loaded. I'm going Dan Lanning in Oregon minus 6. Lock and loaded. And why not? I jumped on Hawaii. I'm going to take Hawaii plus 7. Give it to me. Late night. Let's go 3-0. I guarantee you we're 2-0 going to that one. That might be a good fade because we usually go 2-1. But give me Hawaii plus 7.
This one. Okay. Got it.
You like the other two or just not Hawaii or what?
I don't know. All right. We got Texas A&M minus 7, Oregon minus 6, and Hawaii plus 7. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
I like the first two, Aaron. I would say if for our circa play, those are the two of the ones I'm eyeballing a little bit.
I like them too, though. They will be in. What would be your third game you like, Jason?
Of all of those slates?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I only feel good about the
I really like Tulane when they were at 6.5 on Monday. I still think they win that game, but 3.5, I still like them to cover, but I really liked it at 6.5 on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if any of those, Aaron, I'm really feeling right now.
I'm not really high on any of their games. That's why I'm going Hawaii. Give me the home team. Give me the home dog 7 points.
Okay.
You know that the time change, the travel, even though it's San Diego, it's still a 6-hour flight to get there from San Diego State. I'm not buying them.
Why is it a 6-hour flight to?
It's a 6-hour flight from LAX, ain't it? To Hawaii, 5.5 hours.
No way, Jason.
I think it's like 4 hours.
4 hours still
to Hawaii? Yeah.
Oh shit!
It's still like 2,000 miles.
I've never been to Hawaii. That's like one of the few places I haven't been to.
Yeah, look it up. Rome, Google flights it right now.
Ray lives there though. He said I can crash out at their fucking pad.
Where's he in? Where's he in the Big Island, Little Island? Where's he at?
I don't know, man. He's there with his wife and three kids. You play average MTV with.
I was wrong. Average flight 5 hours and 17 minutes from LAX to Hawaii.
That is crazy.
I knew it was over 5 hours.
It must be against whatever it is, the winds.
So yeah, we're going to Hawaii. That's an 8 o'clock kickoff our time.
That's too late.
So that would be 5 o'clock back there.
You know the game I'm leaning, Aaron. I would say off that. I'm leaning that Washington big spread against Wisconsin. I don't know. I just like that game. Wisconsin's bad.
They are bad.
Kind of surprising though. Like they've been.
They are bad, but Wisconsin at home. I don't know if they show up.
What's the record, Wisconsin?
What do they got? 3 wins, 2 wins.
Well, you like Washington to cover 11?
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's 2-6. They're on a 6-game losing streak.
That's a competitive 2-6.
Is Wisconsin coming off a bye? Did they play last week?
I don't know. I've been. That Aces bar is a Wisconsin bar, and me not living there anymore, I don't have a good vibe on Wisconsin football this year.
Wisconsin football is bad.
They are coming off a bye. They last played at Oregon.
List all their games. They lost 21-7 against Oregon, right? They played competitive against Oregon, surprisingly.
They lost 21-7 to Oregon. They lost 34-0 to Ohio State. They lost 37-0 to Iowa. They lost 24-10 to Michigan. They lost 27-10 to Maryland. They lost 38-14 to Bama. They literally did not cover this 11-point spread in any of these 6 losses.
Yeah.
Did Washington play last week, or is Washington coming off a bye as well?
I take that back.
Yeah,
I take it.
I'm just saying. Washington played. They're coming off a bye too. They beat Illinois on the 25th.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
I mean, yeah. If you like it. I don't really have a strong read either way. I think Wisconsin gets up for this game though.
It's a proud franchise.
You had no idea.
University? You mean university or yeah?
No, I was thinking university, and then franchise came out. I was like, what is wrong with that? It's a proud franchise.
The most successful Wisconsin quarterback is the guy in Draft Day.
I've seen the movie once. I can't really remember it that well.
I don't know.
It was
that guy. Was it Bo Callahan?
Wait, isn't it Russell Wilson? I mean, he only spent 1 year there.
I don't remember. Remember the movie Draft Day? He was the first overall quick, but
he's talking quarterback.
Oh.
You didn't see the movie Draft Day, Rome, with Kevin Costner?
I seen it once.
First of all, I fucking hate Kevin Costner.
Wow. Strong take on Kevin Costner.
I met him once.
I like Kevin Costner.
And, you know, I don't care too much for his movies. Fucking Waterboy or Waterland, whatever it is. And then
Waterworld.
And then he's a lot of people love that movie, and it's just not a good movie. And then that other one where he's like dancing with animals in the desert. You know,
Dances with the Wolves.
There you go.
Where he won the Academy Award.
They give those out to anybody sometimes.
You don't like Field of Dreams, Bull Durham?
I actually don't. I don't like either of those movies.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think every
time I see it, if I see it on TV, automatic turn off. I just can't see Mac. I did watch Yellowstone despite me not liking him, and
I will say I do not have this strong take against Kevin Costner. I really like Yellowstone, but I say my bias against Kevin Costner is that he just left Yellowstone to go make his own movies out there that just flopped at the box office. He's not even gonna finish. So I think that was that's where my only beef against Costner is he didn't come back for the final portion of that 5th season of Yellowstone. But anyways, going back to the Draft Day movie, I recommend it, Rome. It's one of the great, like, unrealistic movies of all time, but it's got all the NFL people in it. But yeah, the quarterback on there, I think it was Bo Callahan or something like that. And the big assessment about him that Costner as the GM of the Cleveland Browns find out is that no one went to his birthday party, which means like no one believes in this guy. He doesn't got any friends. And that was the big Draft Day revelation, as he was the consensus number one overall pick for that year's draft.
You know what? I will watch it because although I don't have Netflix, it isn't like some whatever channel. But I do like Jennifer Garner. Always had a crush on Jennifer
Garner.
She's
good in it. She's good
in
the
movie.
She's
good.
Yep.
They have Puff Daddy in it. So, you know, got to meet my old idol. Pre-baby oil. See how he does there. Is this pre-baby oil or is this like...
It's like 12 years ago, this movie or something.
It's
2014.
Not, it's not. I think this is when I stopped being a songwriter because I saw too many things. Yeah, watch it. Dennis Leary, he's pretty good.
Dennis Leary's the old ball coach, man. He's the coach in there. Yeah. Coaches him up.
Yeah. He's like, give me the players, man. Give me some players.
I liked him in The Sandlot and that one fire show that he was in.
Oh, but yeah, it was on FX.
On FX. Yeah, I was on FX.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. It was when TV started getting serious.
Rescue me.
Rescue Me? Yeah. There we go.
Okay. That one fire movie. I should play Charades.
There you go. Well, yeah, I recommend go watching Draft Day. It's the one unrealistic. You're going to see how these guys traded for a bunch of first round picks and some nonsense during Draft Day. So,
real quick before we go, or maybe I'll say this for the F1 section. We'll just wrap up College Football Pod. Be sure to catch our F1 preview on Sao Paulo, also on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We're out.